Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 43 of the Nitro Beer Beercast. It's June 16th, 2011, and I'm Brian Belita. And I am joined by somebody whose name starts with an I, and that person is...
Imran?
Tyler Olu.
Son of a bitch. No, the first one was right. Caller one, you're on the air.
Well, technically Tyler Olu starts with a Canadian I.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's right. Actually, Tyler is currently reporting to us live from the riots in Moose Square.
Yeah.
You guys have a Moose Square in Canada, right?
Yeah. Lots of moose around.
Lots of Moose Square. So most of the gang is here. We got Imran, as you heard, Tyler's here, and we also have...
Someone else.
Lunar Eternal Blue.
The man. The legend.
I thought they were going to like introduce me before I said my name. Hey, what's up? This is Mark.
That's Mark. Well, and we are really sadly... we are short Wes, Mr. Wes Gardner, because he has living it up, living his Hollywood lifestyle, hosting dinner parties like every day.
He was hosting
a party before, like last week, wasn't it? And maybe the week
a couple weeks ago.
Well.
I remember. Yeah. It's like a Thursday night dinner party tradition. I think his time zone is on Fridays. A dinner party on Thursday is crazy. I don't know. It's
who does that? I mean,
consistently.
Seventh Day Adventists.
I think we're just jealous.
Yeah, I wish I was having a dinner party right now. It feels like it's been a while since we last talked about E3, but I guess it was. It's been more than a week.
Oof, it's been more than a week since anyone talked.
And there's been some after things from E3 that I guess we didn't really talk about at the time, but I don't know what they are. I don't even remember what we talked about. I know there was some footage.
It was just like, it was coming off of Nintendo, and then so we were like, the Wii U's cool. No, it's not. It looks stupid. No, I don't care. It's streaming. Streaming is stupid.
There was a bunch of footage that came out afterwards. Very nice, Mark.
No problem.
Mark has changed his Skype avatar to the, Dragon's Breath?
Dragon's Crown,
like super busty, thick-thighed Viking woman.
No, she's not busty. She's got pecs.
You're
the one who wanted me to change the Skype.
This is true. This is better.
It's confusing because like her six pack looks like another like three pairs of boobs, but so I can see how that happens.
Apparently, Vanillaware is making Total Recall the game.
Yeah, she's almost the perfect woman until you think and realize, no, wait, that's actually a lot of muscles. Does that sort of make me gay? But you keep staring at it because you're not quite sure yet. And yeah, it just makes you feel very uncomfortable.
So I was going to say the axe.
Well, the axe is just hot. I don't know what the heck you're
trying
to talk about.
Okay, all right. Never mind then.
I don't see what the axe would have to do with anything.
I don't even remember what my little Skype image is. What is it? Somebody tell me.
It's a dude with a ninja mask on and no shirt.
Oh, that's me.
Dude, so yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Did I talk about this story? I think I told Tyler when
this
we had
a great
private
radio,
conversation.
People love this picture, like, because they have those new those new iPods that like they have that weird thing where they can show what we're talking about at the same time. So those are really cool. I have one.
So E3. I know they showed a bunch of stuff on the floor that wasn't necessarily in the conferences. So there was some footage of a bunch of Vita stuff that looked kind of, PlayStation Vita. All right, we have to determine, what are we calling it? Just Vita?
Esvita?
Okay.
I think just Vita works, because we're not going to get confused with anything else.
This is true, yeah. As opposed to...
I don't know if Vita is good, because it almost makes you want to say Velveeta, so I'm not exactly sure if that's a good idea.
That's true, yeah. Well, at least if we had done this with Sony's previous portable, we would have just been calling it the portable. Yeah. So I was playing the portable the other day.
Which is kind of like an accurate insult.
That's true. They showed some stuff. There were some games.
In an alternate universe, we'd be talking about the Nintendo and the next generation portable.
How great
is that universe?
The vague name. I'm trying to think. What would Sony's next gen console be called?
Oh, and in this universe, it's also the Next Box, and not the Xbox. So, it's a way better universe than what we're in.
I don't know how I feel about that. Well, anyways, fuck E3. We're done talking about E3. what have you guys been playing?
Well, I've just been playing, the 3DS, like, virtual console stuff. Link's Awakening and Mario Land. And,
is that the one they gave to free to everybody?
No, they gave out Excitebike, which turns out, like, I don't even...
In fact, they're going to give away a Zelda game.
They're giving away 4 swords, apparently.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. No, Excitebike was the free one, and it's okay. Imran and I touched on it last week. It's like, I don't know, it's old, it's cool what they did with the 3D. It'll be interesting to see, like, if they continue going that route where, like, the 3D, like, changes pretty much the camera. Like, so it's not just, like, a straight port with 3D. It's kind of like, they tinker with it a bit. I know they have, what, Xevious in Japan? So, and I don't know what that does with the 3D. So
Xevious would make a lot of sense with the 3D. I mean,
yeah, just like anything 2D, just all like the background, the parallax, all would be nice. But no, I'm just playing. Yeah, so with Super Mario Land, I never played the first one. I played 2 and onward, like the Wario Land series. And 2 was weird. Like I knew when I played it.
Oh, man, I love Wario Land.
Wario Land, yeah, they're amazing. Yeah, and then Mario Land 2, like it was like really weird. Like they had like these weird like space levels where like when you hold down A, like he kind of like goes up, when you let go it goes down, just like weird unconventional Mario things. But Mario Land is like super bizarre. I didn't know going into it that it was this weird. It's really weird. It has like a shooter stage and stuff like that. It has those like Maui heads in the background, just like very like Mario stuff that has never been seen again, like, or referenced. Like it's not, I don't even think anything in there is even in Smash Brothers, which like references like everything. It's just like that weird. It's so out there, but it's still pretty fun.
Weird thing in the 80s where the Japanese just hated Easter Island because you got that, and you had the Life Force thing going on where, you know, every Gradius game they're fighting, yeah, the Maui heads.
Yeah. And this one, like, there's, like, the Maui heads in the background. I'm like, oh, cute. And then there's, like, these ones that, like, spawn out of thin air and then, like, bum rush you. And there's, like, 3 of them in a row. And, like, for a Mario game, it's, like, the fastest enemy I've ever seen. And, like, and it's just, like, you're dealing with, like, such weird, like, real estate with the screen that it, like, they just pop, like, really, really quickly and just, like, rush at you.
So you're walking by and you're thinking, oh, they're all cute. And then one appears in front of you, flying at you, going, fuck.
Yeah, but and plus it feels as like for like a Mario game, like I'm sure like to a level it's like polished, but like it's just things that you don't expect. So I die a lot. Like one thing is like this pogo jumping enemy, and they like go like through blocks and stuff like that. Like there's no, like they don't bounce off of them, they just go like through them. It looks weird and glitchy, but it's like, and then they'll just land on you. So it's a bit of a nightmare. And there's like some other thing where like there's like these boulders that like appear out of thin air in the sky, drop down, and you have to like land on them, and without like having to move,
you have to land on them.
You have to jump on the rocks to get across pits, and then like you just stand on them, and they kind of just keep bouncing, and so you don't roll with them or like have to keep your balance or anything. It's really weird. I didn't expect it, but it's really, really, it's fun. Like it's a fun like platform, but it's weird. But I have
to
say, like,
does the 3DS and like the Game Boy mode, does it like replicate the horrible like blurring, or is it like?
Well, they do. Yeah, it blows up just kind of like the DS games, but also it makes me think of like the Game Boy Advance. Like, remember how you could stretch it out when you played Game Boy games on it, like original Game Boy games? Like, you would stretch it out, or you could bring it to its natural resolution again. It does blow it up like the DS game, so it looks kind of like weird and like kind of fuzzy. But with these, like, they're really basic, so it's not really that bad, at least as far as like Game Boy and Game Boy Colors go. But what's interesting is that if you put it, you know, when you hold start and you can play DS games in like that weird like thumbnail size screen, well, with the Game Boy games, it puts it in a smaller screen, and it puts like a Game Boy around it. So you have that weird like postage stamp size thing, but then you have the Game Boy screen around it. And like one little detail is, like, you know, like the battery light on the original Game Boy. As the battery on the 3DS dies, so does that little light. Like that little light will fade. And another thing is that
and then Exhibit pops up on the top screen.
And then it's really weird.
Well, the emulator itself has 3D, which is weird.
Because yeah, like it'll, really weird.
You could actually make the borders 3D so it looks like the Game Boy screen itself is sunk in.
It's really, really interesting. It's really, and I do that a lot. Like, I think it's like, it looks really, it makes it really sharp too. But I find that if I don't have it at the maximum, it looks kind of blurry. And when I have it at the maximum 3D, like, it just, it looks really, really tight. It looks really good. And then you can, if you hold down L and R, here's the thing I gotta admit, and everyone's like, this is gonna sound like I'm joking, but I did not know that the greenness of the Game Boy was like its green. I thought that's how, like, the vision.
You know, if that was a like conscious word style by every single developer that produced games for it.
Yeah, not that's a weird coincidence. That's actually, like, yeah, which is, it's super weird to think that, but I always did, and now I'm like, and I've played games on my GameCube, like, with
it's
the
like
Game
the
Boy 80s
player. Were fucked up.
Or I played them, like, on my Game Boy Advance, but it's not until the 3DS that I'm like, oh, it's black and white. That's so weird. And because you have the option to watch, go in, like, the weird yellow mode. And I was like, oh, my God, all this time. And so many times it's been proven to me that they're black and white. And yet I never really thought about it until now. So
you can actually do that with the old Game Boy Color, is you can adjust the actual colors it shows up in. So you can have your yellow screen.
Yeah, with the Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance, like, if you put in Game Boy games, like, you hold down different button combinations, and it would change the kind of colors you get, the four colors you get or whatever. I remember that was neat.
Which so I'm going to be really disappointed if this Virtual Console does not put Metal Gear Solid on it.
Oh, like the Game Boy Color one, right?
Yeah, because that was, like, the one good, really, really great Game Boy Color game.
That was a really good game.
Maybe Konami's holding on to that one, like, trying to make some money off of it, make it into...
Well, yeah, they're going to try to transfer it.
Oh.
Oh, did I do that right? I didn't even see the transferring.
I think that was good. We haven't made many transferring jokes. Everyone else has, but that's okay. We can come back. That's fine. With the Metal Gear, which is interesting that you say that, Imran, because I'm finding that at first I was like, I'm not going to rebuy Game Boy games that I have, but because of this like restore point feature where you can just create a save point like anywhere and always return to it, now I'm just like, oh my God, I got to buy them. Because I remember with Donkey Kong Country, with Donkey Kong 94, that you had to beat like four stages, and there's like one that I keep getting stuck on, and I turn it off, and I got to start over again to get I had to go three stages in, then get stuck again, then I run out of time at break at
sounds,
work, and I turn it
sounds,
off.
Sounds like what I did all the time when playing Game Boy Advance games on my PSP. I had it. A custom firmware, and I had an emulator and whatnot. But I had the analog stick. I was about to say the left analog stick, but there was only one. So I had this. So like, if you flicked it down, it would save or quick save. If you flicked it up, it would quick load. So I'd be sitting there like playing Rhythm Tengoku, trying to get like the perfect scores, and just be like, "Fuck, quick save! All right, quick save in the middle. Fuck load." So I felt terrible because I was cheating, but you know, what can you do? Mm-hmm. But yeah, but so I don't know. I feel like Nintendo. So that if you already bought these games on the Wii Shop or whatever, you can't transfer that over to your 3DS, can you?
Well, if you have DSi stuff, is that what you mean? If you have DSi stuff from the DSi, you can transfer.
Well, no. I mean, like, if you bought stuff on the Wii from the Virtual Console.
Oh, no, not at all. No. Because that's all. Well, the whole thing with, like, it seems like the route they're going with the 3DS is, like, the Virtual Console is handheld stuff.
Except for TG16. For some reason, that's on there.
No, because in TG16.
Well, there's a reason for that. Exactly, nothing. Was that, yeah, if that, or was it, I don't know.
The Turbo Express. There's basically, you didn't actually want to own like a TG16 because that thing was a pile of shit. What you wanted was the Turbo Express because it was like a portable TG16.
Yeah, you can't transfer anything over. That's all staying.
That's pretty lame. I feel like Nintendo needs some unified account, and you know, since they say, hey, you can play all these old games, and then you could just go grab.
It seems very arbitrary.
It would be a great thing to be able to transfer. So just like in the Vita demo of that one little Torchlight-ish action RPG, how, you know, you could play on your PSP and then come home and pick up on your big screen.
A better comparison might be like how you can buy Final Fantasy IX on the PS3 and then play it on either the PS3 or the PSP right now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The PS1 games.
This might be a licensing thing.
It's funny you mentioned the transferring thing because, you know, like, you're like, oh, what's with Nintendo? They do the weirdest things. Here's another weird thing they did. When you transfer from the DSi to the 3DS, it plays this, like, little – it has this ongoing animation of, like, Pikmin running over to the left, and then they get these little pictures and images that make up the games, and they bring them over to your 3DS, and it plays Pikmin music, and there's all these different varieties of the Pikmin. And that's something you're going to see, like, once – you're only going to see that once. And then they took the time to make that and like all these little nods and like it, other like instead of just having some like bullshit screen of like a loading bar, and they spent the time doing that, and they can't even make their own games. Like, it's so bizarre. Like, it's like all these other studios are making, like, Next Level Games making Luigi's Mansion 2, and we're making the 3DS transfer screen. It's so bizarre.
Oh man. So yeah, Tyler, our handheld gaming man. Have you been playing any PlayStation 3 games or anything lately?
No, I've just been playing Infamous. I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but I buy these games like when they come out, and then I don't, and then I play them. I'm like, oh,
yeah, I think it's you're playing one, right? Infamous one.
Infamous one, yeah. And it's really good. I really like it.
Well, because I was gonna see if you had bought Outland yet, because that's up on the PSN now.
I wanted to get it for PS3 just because of the D-pad.
Okay, well, cool. Then I'm gonna let you do that, and then I'll steal it from your account.
Illegal goes on in this podcast.
Oh, no.
I remember I got burned on NeoGAF.
Sony allows it.
Yeah. Well. I remember me and Brian used to do it back and forth, and then I did it with someone on NeoGAF. We did like one game, and then I found out about the 5 accounts thing, and I was like, oh my god! And the guy and I would like I PM'd him, and I was like, please, delete the thing. I'll buy you a game. I'll give you like a little card, just anything. And he was like, oh yeah, I already did it. And I was like, did you follow the instructions properly? Oh my god, I don't want to have my account anymore. I'm just so nervous that somehow I'll get to that 5 without knowing. And
Exactly. Well, because after the network. Compromise of Sony. I need to let you know my new password. But anyways, we can save that for later.
No, let's do it now.
Let's do it. All right. That's not loud. Username is.
They're gonna get it anyways.
Big Beard 1984 at NitroBeard.com, and my password is. I don't know, Mark. What's my password? The Dong Police.
Sure, totally.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of depressed because I fully remember the year 1984, and apparently that was the year you were born. So that just...
I love people that do that.
I'm so old.
You're not that old.
I'm so fucking old.
Whatever. You got it, dude.
So, Tyler, what do you think about Infamous?
Oh, it's good. I feel like I've talked a lot about Game Boy games. I don't know if people want to hear about, like, what is this, a 2-year-old, 3-year-old game? I don't even know.
You have 300 words. Go.
Oh, God. It's like Twitter. I got to really watch. I'll have to say, like, ampersand.
That was like 20 words right there.
No, it's fun. I really like superheroes. I don't know who doesn't, but I like superheroes. And I like experiencing an origin story that I haven't. What? What's wrong?
Aren't you, dude, just die?
No, I think he hung.
We're done. Oh, no, we're good. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay, cool. I was like, oh my god, I thought he was laughing about me liking superheroes. And, so anyways, it's just cool playing like an origin story that I haven't already played. But I did read the Game Informer story on Infamous 2, like a year ago, so I know how Infamous 1 ends. I don't know why I did that. That was weird. But anyways, so I know what it's building up to, but it's still cool. It's really fun, and I like that the little side missions, like, usually, like, when I played, when Grand Theft Auto came out, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna fucking love this game. It looks so good. I didn't like any other ones, but this one is the one. It's just like those, like, it's just like everything about them really annoys me. Like, I don't like having all these options of going and doing things, but because in Infamous, like, I feel like I'm doing something. Like, I'm helping people. Like, I'm not just like an asshole who's like shooting up drug dealers.
I mean, you have the option of being an asshole. I mean, you have the option.
But I'm not doing it. Okay, yeah, right. I'm being a good guy. I'm doing the good missions. I like that it blocks out bad missions. Like, it's like bad missions are canceled because you're a nice guy. I think that's cool. And then and just like the variety of superpowers, like, and how it's like basically like a shooter without guns. Like, I like that it's not guns. Like, you're like, I'm just a dude, and you have like the force powers. Like, it's just like a superhero game that's really good. Like, it's like a Star Wars game that's good. That's without Star Wars force lightning and force push and all that shit. That's really good. And just the jumping around. I really like traversing the city. Like, that's probably my favorite part.
You unlock the electricity glide power.
I haven't even got that yet.
That's the best. Once you get that, you're gonna have so much fun flying around. Traversing the city becomes 200% more fun.
Yeah, and like when you load in, like it starts you off on a rooftop already, so you don't have to like start climbing just to get going. It's just like it's so much fun. I love it. It's really, really good. And now I'll catch up to 2011 eventually, and I'll play the second one. But I will say, and I'll let someone else speak right after this, that I really liked the redesigned Cole that they showed, and because I was like, this guy is ugly in the first game. He's an ugly character, and then
he's a pretty average Joe.
Yeah, but
see, I didn't have a problem with the actual design of the new Cole. It was that it was a new Cole. That they just sort of changed the character midstream.
Well, I remember at one point they had an entirely different voice, and he had like dark black hair as well.
Yeah, it's still the same voice actor in Infamous 2. He's imitating old Cole, which comes off as kind of weird at first.
Yeah.
I thought he looked like a cool like Mirror's Edge reject. Like I thought he was like I liked his, and he had that, he still had the backpack and he had like the cool.
Dude, that's how I dress all the time.
And it just wasn't a bald guy, like a bald white guy. Like he had some like something to him that I was like, oh yeah, but I don't know. People really didn't like that. I imagine you probably played it already, but is that even an option or a downloadable thing or an unlockable? Like I'd really like to play as that guy. It looks really cool.
Nope. There's a couple of skins. They're mostly pre-order stuff. But, like, there's Kessler skins and there's old Cole, but there's no
Adam Sessler
new
skins?
Old Cole. Sessler as in the villain in Infamous 1.
Okay.
Which, I mean...
No, you said Sessler, right? Isn't it Kessler?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tyler just confused you.
Oh, yeah. That confused me, too.
That was a bad move on my part.
Oh, well. But, yeah, I've been playing Infamous 2, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I need to get it. I am off all next week. I'm taking off. I'm using my vacation time. So I'm planning on just binge gaming and just knocking out all these single player games that I don't have time to play because I'm either not playing. But yeah, so I'm gonna get Infamous 2. But
well, see, the thing about Infamous 2 is all the good parts about Infamous 1 are better in that game, but all the bad parts are still there. Like if you have a problem with Infamous 1 being really, really squirrely, then 2 is pretty much that same thing. It can take you like a minute to jump down into an alley because he will grab onto everything.
Well, I remember when Infamous 1 came out, people got really frustrated because if you were trying to drop down, you're exactly right, he would grab onto everything. I mean, you could hit circle to let go, but people were saying all they have to do is have it so if you hold circle, you just, you know, you just drop out. You don't grab anything. But unfortunately, you just have to tap it every single time you grab onto something. So,
getting onto, like, there are these things called grind poles that you can just jump up and it, like, electric shoots him up the building.
Nice.
But for some reason, I feel like those were added after development because unless you're literally jumping in a straight line at the pole, you cannot grab onto it. He will grab onto anything else. Just never those. But I mean, the game is way, I don't want to say harder, because the way they've made it harder is kind of artificial. The regular shots you use now use up energy, so you have to constantly be, like, rationing your shots out.
Or draining people.
Yeah. And the wires that you use to get around the city used to recharge you, and now they don't.
Huh. Interesting.
So you have to, like, manually choose to recharge somewhere.
So it's akin to the ammo system of Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 1.
So let me get this straight. Cole can go up to like a car and pull energy out like its teeny little dinky battery, but you know, he'll go up to like a high voltage power line and he gets shit.
Well, if you're riding on it, yeah. If you get on the end and just choose to draw electricity from it, then you can do it. But you can't actually get someone riding on it anymore.
Interesting. How big is it? Is it comparable in size? Is it bigger or?
Hour-wise, it's probably about the same.
Okay, that's good.
There's only two islands this time.
I'm okay with that.
One of them is split up into two, so it's kind of basically the same thing.
Right.
But if you go the good path, at least, you get newer... You know how in the first game it was good path has defense and bad path has offense for powers? Mm-hmm. This time, the good path has more traversal stuff. So you can choose to get like something called an ice launch that will launch you up in the air. Then you can use static thrusters, and you basically get anywhere.
Because
there's
cool
missions where you're chasing enemies, and it becomes so hilarious because the game doesn't balance it for those powers. So you're literally running in front of them. And the game, there's one thing that really annoys me is you die from basically anything now. Like, I'm doing a hard run right now, and if you get charged by a larger enemy, you will die. Sometimes enemies will just run right up to you, fire a rocket in your face, and kill both of you, but it only matters for you.
Hmm. Kind of sucks for the whole superhero aspect, then, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, Cole's kind of like, he's a glass cannon.
Yeah.
But a lot of the they double down on the big enemies this time. So there's a bunch of enemies that take a long time to kill if you don't immediately know that you should shower them with grenades or rockets or as soon as you see them.
Do you get that shield power still?
You get a shield, but it kind of sucks.
Okay, yeah.
And the story, I don't want to do any spoilers, but it's not as good. Like, okay. Infamous 1 had a really good story, and I know, Tyler, you've already spoiled yourself on the end of it, but I get the feeling...
Fire away.
I can't explain this without spoiling it, but I will say it does seem like Sucker Punch wanted to end the series here.
Ah.
So I don't see it for
season. You don't think there's going to be another? Okay.
Cole's powers give him horrible terminal cancer and he dies.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
I can kind of see why they would want to end the series, though, because, like, I get the feeling Sony tried to make them focus group the hell out of this game, which is why they got, like, a sudden character design change. And, and it's weird because every cutscene now has, they don't check for alignment in most of them, so you never know if Cole is going to be evil or not. So they write him as this, like, snarky jerk that everything he says could go either way. It's entirely open to interpretation.
So all the
saying it as
weird.
A joke or if he's evil.
That's weird. So are the karmic choices as blaringly obvious? Because I remember in one of the first ones you do is, you know, that there's this airdrop of all this food, and it goes, all right, I can either be really nice and help dole out the food, or I can take it all for me and my friends. That's bad, by the way.
They're pretty much all incredibly labeled.
Okay.
So if you wanted to, like, one choice is, I don't know how to say this without spoiling it. You basically choose the good or evil path.
Use a food analogy.
You basically choose the same thing, like, should I take this food here, or should I leave it for everybody else? But it's basically labeled, because the characters will tell you beforehand, like, you know, if you do this, I'm going to have to hunt you down.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, that's not much of a choice. You know which one leads to which alignment. So it's not really a Mass Effect in that sense.
Okay.
You're more doing this because you know the power, you want to see the powers you're going to get from it, not because it's hardcore moral choices.
Right. Well, cool.
So it is funny that, like, because there's these things in the game called, someone's building bombs with blast shards. So every time you defuse a bomb and save the people there, you can take the blast shard out of it. And I wanted the blast shard. I was doing an evil run, so I didn't want to save the people and get the good karma from it. So what I do is, I'd go in there, I'd defuse the bomb really quick, and then grab the blast shard. Then I'd beat up everybody in the room.
Just murder them all anyways.
Yeah, and I have to do that with every like good deed I do. I'll stop a mugging, then I'll attack the mug victim. Or when I see like a group of people being abducted, I just throw grenades into the whole crowd.
You destroy the enemies and the innocents.
Yeah, so it kind of all turns out to be a wash.
Everyone is bringing balance to the universe.
The game does have a really good moral choice at the end, but it then labels everything and then puts text below it telling you what those labels mean.
Good, bad. Yeah. Oh, well. You've been playing much else, or pretty much just that?
Pretty much just that and Link's Awakening. Which I don't remember at all. Like, I've been stuck for the last 3 days trying to remember what I give the crocodile to get him to give me bananas.
Oh, I know.
And, man, those are the good old days when we had game choices like that. What do I give the crocodile so I can get the banana? Nowadays, it's like, do I take the food or leave the food? We don't have wacky game choices like that. Well, sometimes maybe we do.
You do, but then they relegate them to emails in the next game.
Nice. Hi, I'm the Rathni Queen. Thanks for saving me. See you soon.
Bye.
Oh, that crazy Rathni Queen. She's probably genociding millions.
Yay. All right, Mark, your turn.
All right, well, I've been playing a couple things. I have also been playing Infamous, because they gave it to me for free.
The government gave it to them
for free. Yeah, it's my government game. Excuse me, I'm sorry. No, I mean it's fine. It's just that those the kind of like open world like stuff has kind of been ruined by Red Faction Armageddon for me, because I just want to blow the fuck out of everything, and it's you I don't know, it's the city, you can't really affect anything in the city, you can't really take like. Because, like, in normal of these games, one of these free action games, you if you see, like, a group of guys that you need to take out, say, this is going to be pretty difficult. I'm going to go over here, take this tank, rip off a missile launcher, and then come back to them and blow them the fuck up. These guys, you just, like, walk up to them and just, like, you start using your powers. It's just kind of, like, everything just...
Right, not a lot of environmental interaction or whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a linear platformer put in an open world structure.
Yeah, and as a platforming game, it's really terrible.
I would say.
Let's say like you put a blast shard on a pier, like, and you put it underneath the water. It's going to take me like five. I'm going to die five times getting that fucking shard, because I guarantee I'm going to like hold on to the pier, jump off, try to grab the shard. Grab onto the fucking pier again. I'm going to keep doing that until eventually, you know, fuck you. I'm just going to just try and like jump directly onto the pier using like
and then fall
levitating
the water.
Powers. Yeah, and then fall into the water.
Yeah, happened to me a couple times in this one.
Yeah, it just makes the very simple things like ungodly complex. Like a ladder. You think a ladder would be like more sticky than like the stuff around it. So no, getting on the ladder is the most difficult fucking thing in the world in this game, because you will go right through that ladder. You'll be like dead onto that bitch and go right through it and grab onto like the girder behind the ladder, and you're spending the next like 30 seconds trying to get off that fucking girder because the ladder just said told you go to hell.
Because you just keep switching in between like the upper level, lower level, the I-beam, and you're just can't get off. It's just
ladders are cool, man. You gotta scale the building.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're like climbing like a crane or something, the ladder's the only way to get up there. And oh, by the way, your idiot friend Zeke has a bomb strapped to him, so you better go save him quick. And it's like, great,
God damn it, Zeke.
Man, he's like a press X2 ladder, but
yeah.
Yeah, if Assassin's Creed had Infamous 2's jumping, it would probably be the most frustrating game of the generation.
Which is what I gotta say though, with Infamous, they do some really cool things too. Like it just you saying this reminded me. Like I remember there was a mission where you'd like go around this entire building and find these stupid like security cameras that have been placed there by like the bad people.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Yes. But but it's user friendly in that it has like a big circle around the building, and as you go around and destroy them, the circle gets smaller. And I found at a point where I'm like, oh shit, I got like one more to go. Like I thought I've been everywhere, but then I noticed that on the map, the circle gets so small that it even pinpoints. It shows on the general area on the building where it is. Like on this side, over on like the furthest left of this side. Like it gives you a better idea, which I thought was a really interesting. I've never seen that before, and that's the kind of thing.
And
that
then
I know
in the 12 minutes it takes to get in position to grab floor that one security camera, like a dozen dudes are sitting there because you created too much ruckus. So,
oh yeah, with their like sniper scopes, yeah, that's pretty annoying.
Yeah,
thankfully, most Infamous 2 missions are basically go to this place, oh shit, there's a helicopter and a bunch of monsters.
That's good. It's fun. It's what this game should be about. This game should not be about platforming, and then you get to the sewer sections, and that's just...
should be an infamous prototype crossover.
Yeah, I don't, you know, God, I played like 15 minutes of Prototype and just became physically ill.
The one thing Prototype got really right was traversal. Like, I don't feel like there's been another open world game that's done it that well.
Spider-Man!
But then basically everything else about the game was a horror show.
With Prototype, like, wasn't it like you could do nothing but be an asshole? It's just like varying degrees of being an asshole? Like, weren't you just a bad guy?
Yeah, you were such a bad guy that you were apparently the villain in the next game. Or he is, anyway.
Nice.
You play a different guy.
But it's just, all the time I was playing it for myself, I think, you know, I'm severely disappointed I'm never going to get into play another Mercenaries, because that development studio was wholly incompetent and they were put out of business. But
well, Mark, if you enjoy going around and blowing shit up and Red Faction Armageddon, boy do I have a game for you.
What's that?
Just Cause 2.
Oh yeah, I love Just Cause 2.
But, okay, so you played that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I played the crap out of Just Cause 2. It's Just Cause 2 is like it's a 2-hour story, and like literally the rest of the game is built around
this. There's like 4,000 hours of side missions. It's insane.
Yeah.
I'm basically just doing as like all I have to do to unlock the next story mission. And I'll do some of the faction missions because they're fun every now and again.
The brilliant thing is just plow through the story missions because they keep unlocking side missions and new territory.
And then just run around causing chaos.
Yeah, like this story is done. You'll be done with it in like 30 minutes. It's great. But
just, oh, wait. I forgot. I've been playing Fable 3.
Is that
that game is awful.
That's not the on rails one?
No, that's the...
No,
there's
I know.
No description for the game. It's a bad Fable game. That's the only thing I could think of.
I don't know. Fable still seems like it's people love the hell out of it, but I don't know. It never really got my attention enough.
The second game was really good. I don't know what happened to Peter Molyneux like in like the 2 years between.
You know what happened? Milo happened.
He went fucking senile is the problem. He lost his mind. The Kinect came out and he lost his fucking
mind. Did you see how like he totally lost it at E3? That when people came to do the Fable demo, he just like they kept saying, "Oh well, this is kind of on rail, isn't it?" So he like took a dry erase marker and just started writing on the wall and making journalists sign it that it's not on rails.
Is that what he did? I thought like he was getting the development team to sign it.
No, he was making journalists sign it to like.
That's even fucking crazier.
And during the video, like you would imagine play, and like he would say, "This game is not on rails," and like
and then he'd hold a gun.
It's like Panzer Dragoon. What the fuck?
And then he'd hold
totally
a gun
fucking
to
on rails. I don't care what he says.
I'm imagining Peter Molyneux just like holding a gun up to all these journalists, had him walking them over to out of the whiteboard, saying, "Sign your fucking name. Sign it."
No, what he's
so
doing,
what are the chances that it's actually not on rails, and that it's like he's just like has some weird spin on it where he's like, "No, you're going where you'd want to go. It doesn't matter. Like you wouldn't want to go left or right. You want to just
you wanna go
all the time.
He's trying
connect
to
the sense in your brain."
Right. Oh God.
Well, he doesn't have like the Steve Jobs power to make that actually work right. So
the
people
connect
like,
vitality.
This is dumb.
Sensor.
You're just crazy.
But what if you can actually fart on people? Like you could
well,
fart.
In this game, you would have to fart on people because you'd have no choice in the matter.
That'd be amazing.
Farting. And what happens is he's got Milo sitting on a 360 across the room, and whenever somebody doesn't sign the whiteboard, he goes over and does something horrible to Milo. So they're kind of guilty.
Milo's actually running this operation. Milo has gained all this knowledge from interacting with Peter Molyneux since Fable 2 came out, and now Peter Molyneux is just actually regurgitating what Milo tells him to do.
So it's this Hal-like thing, just sort of ordering him around.
Yeah.
They try to keep Milo on like a 360 without like an internet connection, but he managed to get over to a 360 Slim where it has built-in wireless, so he's already out.
So here's my question.
Milo is Skynet.
Yeah.
What is Peter Molyneux's obsession with chickens?
He's English. I think that's the issue.
No, I've been to England. There's no huge thing with chickens there. The guy just loves chickens himself for some reason, and I can't figure out why. He thinks they're hilarious.
We know Gary, who did The Far Side? Gary Larson.
Gary Larson.
Gary Larson, yeah. I mean, he had a cow fetish, so maybe this is just the
chicken and
manifestation.
Cows, I can understand. Like, they got, like, huge dumper. But, like, chicken, I don't know.
Big old cow booties. Hmm. Oh, God. Anything else, Mark?
Let's see here. I've been playing the El Shaddai demo. I've been enjoying that probably more than I really should based on the quality of the game itself.
I think I just didn't get it because I got to like that second battle, like where you're facing two guys in that blue room, and
which weapon were they? Are they the guys with like the batleths, or are they guys with like the arrows?
I have no idea. It was the second room.
They hurt you.
But it just, I could not beat them for the life of me, and I couldn't figure out why. I feel like the game had something there that it wasn't explaining to me.
I figured out the combat in that fucking game. And it took me like the second playthrough in order to figure out what the hell they're going for. You have to go up to the guy and beat him up, obviously. And you only have one action button in that game, right? But if you hold block and use your action button, you get a special attack. Well, the special attack knocks the dude up in the air. And while he's knocked up in the air, you can do the special attack again, which knocks him up further in the air. And then you can combo that into like another hit, which like drives him to the ground. By that point, he should be nearly dead, and you take his weapon away from him, and then you purify his weapon, and then kill him again.
This sounds ridiculously circuitous.
It kinda is. And it's this way because they designed it so it only has one fucking combat, only one like fight button, only one combat button. It's not like
right.
weak heavy. It's just mash this button, and they had to like put so many like different button combinations into making this thing work. It's kind of really convoluted.
Well, isn't it almost like rhythm based from what I understand?
Maybe,
I mean,
but
well,
then again,
timing based rather.
Most games like this really are. I mean, unless you're talking like Gears of War, God damn it, God of War, where you're just mashing. The great majority of these are kind of like rhythm based, and like you have to be tapping correctly, or you're gonna lose.
Yeah.
Well, like Ninja Gaiden or Bayonetta, or even like Ninja Blade. If you're not tapping, like if you're not doing the combos correctly, you're not going to get through it. So it's kind of like that, but
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
Oh, not rude. My impression of like the reaction to the demo, it's like weird because what I'm hearing is like, basically like it's already out in Japan and people are really enjoying it there. And I'm hearing that this demo does a really poor job of like explaining things as far as like the rock paper scissors combat and
it seems like
people are just like. These guys are like weapon sponges. Like you just hit them like nonstop and they never die. But it's like you said that whole like purifying system. It's just like very poorly explained.
Even after like playing through it like three or four times, I'm still not exactly sure. Like because there's two weapon types.
Yeah.
It's like the
I think
boat.
There's and then in the end there's three.
Yeah, there's like one like special weapon that's hidden up and like I can't get to it because it's a pain in the ass to get to.
Yeah, sorry. I just mean like in the full game. Like I think it, yeah. that's the whole. That's like yeah. There's three altogether.
But, like, even playing through it, like, the bunch of times as I have, I still have no clue, like, it, like, are the sword guys weak to swords? Because that's kind of dumb.
From what I hear, it's just, like, if you play, like, from the beginning of the game, you know, like, the natural, actual retail game, that it's fine. It just seems like it's a really poor vertical slice. And for, like, a food analogy, it's, like, the stump end of the bread instead of, like, a really nice, like, meaty part from the middle where you, like, actually enjoy it. Because I know Brian really likes food analogies, so.
No. It's like if you dig into like a big like pint of like Ben and Jerry's,
yeah.
And like you dig into it, and like this one spoonful is nothing but like the candy and caramel and stuff, and there's like no ice cream in it. It's like,
yeah,
oh, this is kind of good, and if it had like other stuff in it, this might be good, but
yeah.
This is kind of disgusting when I'm eating this actually.
Yeah, it's getting like Kojima up in here, man. Like all these food analogies, I love it, guys.
This could yeah, bacon eggs.
But no, it's. I hate to like love a game based on its art style, but the fucking art style is just amazing. It's like I don't know how many of you guys read like the Gaiman Sandman books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it looks a lot like the art from the Sandman books, and like every 30 seconds it just changes, and it's just.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for that game. I'm pissed off.
I want it to be a good game. I badly want... Well, not even a good game. I want it to be a passable game. I want it to be something I can enjoy playing through to the end because it's something I want to experience, if that makes any sense. I badly want to like this game, and it's probably going to be to the point that I'm not going to be able to judge it fairly. I'm probably going to try and talk myself into really liking this game despite probably not liking it. So it's going to be kind of one of those like Shadow of the Colossus type things. So I don't know what I'm, so just you know you're going to hear a lot from me about this game in the future. Just be advised that it's probably not like really like advice you should follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I listened to like I think all told like four like Japanese game fetish podcasts, and like I think every one of them has had nothing but positive things to say about the game so far.
Well, Warning a Giant podcast, not all three of them, but one of them just hated it. I don't know if it's Shidoshi who hated it.
Oh yeah, he didn't. I think he wasn't impressed with the demo. But the problem was that I think this. Oh my god, I don't know if I should explain this if we're talking about like giving a recap of another podcast. But then I think someone else on Morning Huge podcast, I think it was Casey Lowe. I think he explained that I think he didn't know about the weird weapon system. So he was wailing on a guy like forever, and he wasn't killing him. And then Casey said about like explained the weapon system, and then he was like, oh okay. Maybe I'll try that. So it seems like that
probably another shot because I could not beat those two guys. I felt like if this is the second room in the demo and I can't get through this, either something's very wrong with the game or something's very wrong with me.
Yeah. I went to download it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, gonna download the demo. And I was like, oh, gold exclusive, no problem, I'm a gold member. And then my it ran out, it expired, I had no idea. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, and I went, I found, like, I think, like, Left 4 Dead 2, and I opened it up, and I had, like, a 48-hour, like, trial pass. And I'm like, this'll work, this'll give me a gold thing. But all it does is just let you play it. Yeah, it doesn't really make you, like, have a gold account, so I couldn't download the demo, so I gotta, like,
so there's, there's, like, a third tier to, like, to Xbox Live subscribers. There's, like,
yeah, just, well, just, like, I guess, like, they threw some workaround, like, it lets you play games online, but not really have a gold status, which is fine, whatever. Like, I'm trying to take advantage of it, like, so naturally, of course, it wouldn't work. Like, why would it? But I just had to get my, like, my PS3, like, that. I had to reopen my Japanese account. I had a problem, my system broke.
It's
forever,
on the American,
though.
It's on American PSN. You should be able to get it. Yeah,
oh,
I'm playing on PS3.
All right, cool. Were you in your Japanese account, maybe, or no?
No, I don't have the Japanese. I don't have a Japanese.
You know
account.
What you're doing.
I have a Japanese account on 360 for Bayonetta. Imranite should got that one for me. So.
Yep.
Sweet.
But yeah, that's.
I've been playing Just Cause. Two.
Just Cause 2? Good, because yes. Just Cause 1 was shit. Okay.
Why have you been playing it, Brian?
But Just Cause 2 is just so insane, it's awesome. And grapply hooking everything and...
Grapple hooks need to be in every game.
That's what I'm saying. I've always been a firm proponent ever since the beginning of Nitro Beard that grapple hooks can make any game better.
It's kind of weird that game doesn't have, like, a really substantial co-op thing.
Yeah, I super hope they make a Just Cause 3 and have some kind of, because that, oh god, that would be, and I'm just remembering all the crazy insane times playing GTA 4 multiplayer, just sandboxes running around, dicking around, and thinking how awesome that would be in Just Cause. Yeah, speaking of, they just, Avalanche Studios, the guys that made Just Cause and Just Cause 2, just opened up a new studio in New York. So.
Sweet. Did they go into, like, Chaos Studios, like, old offices and just, like, take it over?
Or, I think so. That's possible.
Shitload, like, Arion chairs and, like, computers here. Let's go.
but yeah, so I've been doing my best to kind of beat these single-player, or at least the single-player portions of games. So I'm doing my best to go through that in Just Cause 2. Not that I really care about the story, but more that if I beat it, I'll be more inclined to move on to something else. I've been doing my best to play that, even though there are a bunch of other multiplayer games. I've been playing some more Brink. Wes wanted us to talk about how Steam just launched this new free-to-play section, and they launched with like four or five games, a bunch of MMOs. They launched Champions Online, Free for All, so you can get that through Steam. And a neat kind of little MMO hack and slash game called Spiral Knights, which I've been having a little bit of fun with. It is free to play. Obviously you can buy things, and in the free to play version, you have a certain amount of energy, so you can't play like 20 hours straight in a day. You have to wait for it to recharge, which is fine with me because like I play a couple missions at night and I'm fine, so I've never had the issue of running out. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think I want to say it was Chaos Soldier or Behemoth on the forums that kind of equated it to. Like an action RPG like Diablo mixed with Legend of Zelda Four Swords. Been enjoying that. I'm going to play that some more and see how that goes. But pretty much Just Cause 2 was the main thing that's been taking up my time. That and I beat Little Big Planet 2. Any other guys? any other guys played Little Big Planet 2?
Yeah,
I didn't play 2.
Is there, like, official, like, campaign to Little Big Planet 2? Is there, like,
Little Big
Planet 2 story? Like, is there a bad guy in this thing? What's the deal?
Yeah, in Little Big Planet 2, there's a story. There's this big machine called the Negativitron. But I was actually surprised. A lot of the levels in Little Big Planet 2 were kind of dark and depressing. Not depressing. I mean, it's a little hard to be depressing in the world of Little Big Planet 2. But it was not as, like, bright and cheery as Little Big Planet 1. And a lot of the levels were kind of all over the place. They introduced a bunch of these new, you know, game mechanics and ways you could edit levels and make stuff. And I don't know, it just kind of went overboard at some point. So I kind of wish there were more just straight platforming levels, but there were about four kind of side-scrolling shooting levels and some other things. So the story mode was kind of all over the place, and I was a little disappointed in it. Not for the story, but just in the actual levels that Media Molecule made. as compared to Little Big Planet 1. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts. But
yeah, I found like as much as I enjoyed the you know, like the community levels, like the little bit like the games like it ships with, the levels it ships with are really good, and like their expansion packs were like so few and far between, but like really fun. Like the Metal Gear Solid one for the first game was like really fun. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little, I mean, there's still tons of user-made levels, which I've been playing some really awesome ones. Usually I'll have a couple friends come over, and we'll go through and try to play the shittiest levels we can find. So they'll come over, and we'll go, okay, all right, let's do this. Let's find a search term, and my friend will go, like, dick butts. And so we'll search dick butts, and then, you know, try to find the level that has been either rated the worst or just not been played at all yet.
Yeah.
So that usually leads to pretty fun stuff. But also the one game I did want to talk about is Jamestown. It was just launched on Steam and other digital distribution sites, and it is a shoot 'em up, and it's super pretty, super pixely. I art style wise, I kind of equate it to.
Are you like Virginians fighting off like,
yes,
like the Native American hordes?
We're settling the frontier on Mars.
Oh,
yeah,
that's not as interesting.
It's still in the 1600s. It's just
yeah,
on Mars.
On Mars, and
you're still like native like Martians. You're trying to like fight off, or what's the deal?
They've allied with the Spanish
robots and the Spanish. Yeah, but it's okay. the soundtrack in it is fantastic. It's such a good soundtrack, and again, just the art style is just incredible. I kind of equate it to why can't I remember the name of it? Is it Metal Slug?
Alzheimer's.
No, Metal Slug. It's kind of like a shoot 'em up version of Metal Slug, art style wise.
I can see that.
I think, it's a lot of fun. I haven't really enjoyed a shoot 'em up this much since let's see, Tyrion 2000, Einhander, and Ikaruga. And I mean, since then, I can't really think of any that I've enjoyed or put this much time into. So yeah, it's really good.
I want to play it. It's just I have no interest in a bullet hell shmup at this point.
It's not really a bullet hell shmup. I mean, every shmup to some extent. I mean, you have to dodge things, obviously. But I don't know. When I think of bullet hell, I think of I've seen videos of like Don Don Patchy Diojo or something like that, which is just absolutely insane. But this is it's really not like that. There are some challenge levels that are very bullet hell esque. But otherwise, I don't know. I think it's Did you think of Ikaruga as a bullet hell shooter?
To some extent, but I mean the polarity stuff made it so if you were fucked with bullets, you had a way out.
Right, right. Well, I mean,
there's a very definite like genre to like bullet hell shumps, and Ikaruga wasn't. Because I don't think Chargers
ever. Really, I don't know. Like, I'd equate Jamestown to that as far as the level you have to be at in order to kind of dodge attacks and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't really look at it as a bullet hell shooter. Cause I'm the same. I don't really like bullet hell shooters. So I don't know if that means anything, but I mean, it's like $8. You can't really lose a lot. So I say pick it up. If you're able to. So yeah, go play.
I'll probably give it a try.
It's really, really good. Beautiful soundtrack. So that's about it. So I say we take a break, and then we can come back and I don't know, we can talk about it. There's some game that I don't know, they were working on it for like 80 years and it just came out, so we can talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 43 of the Next Brew Breakcast. I am back.
Oh, God, I'm confused.
Tyler is gone. Tyler is gone. I said welcome back, and Wes is here now.
Yeah, I took him out.
We turned Tyler into Wes.
That's right. All the maple syrup flowing through Canada right now from all the riots. Mm. Don't they have maple syrup in Canada?
They totally have maple
syrup. Yeah, like the maple leaves. Yeah, that's right.
That's like all they have.
See, now I sound smart, like I know something about geography. It's not like there's a big
north, right?
It's not like there's a big fucking leaf on their flag or anything.
No. Never. That would be too obvious. That would be like America putting a giant crying eagle on their. Oh wait.
You know how much money I would spend. Can you imagine that hanging in every classroom in America? An American flag with a crying bald eagle on the front of it.
The best.
Oh man,
that would be the best. Yeah, so we're back, and I think we're going to talk about Duke Nukem Forever.
We're going to talk about that, and then afterwards, I think we want to bring up the Steam versus Origin, because there's interesting shit to talk about there. Yeah. I don't know. I come in, and I've been having my crazed dinner party, so I'm just cussing up a storm. I don't know. I feel raunchy now. A little dirty.
We were swearing at your dinner party?
Yeah, I swear all the time, man.
It's a swear party.
Children.
If just a whole bunch of rich people just coming in with their monocles and drinking wine, just cussing constantly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The most vile swears you've ever heard in your entire
life.
That's
it. Yeah, even at work, I'm like, a little kid brings up Diddy Kong, and I'm like, Diddy Kong fucking racing! And then I like go.
Man, I love.
And the boss opens up.
I love Diddy Kong. There was a period where I borrowed brother's friend's N64, and I played like Banjo-Kazooie. Because I had a PS1, and this was really my first experience kind of having an N64 to my own and playing it. And I played like Banjo-Kazooie, I played Diddy Kong Racing. And I remember at the time, I had braces, and I had to wear like, you know, a face guard, whatever head thing, you know, wrap around my head. And even with just the braces in, I just had the funniest thing. So whenever I was talking about the little clock guy, his name was TT, right? He was like TT the time guy. And so, so imagine me trying to say that with, you know, like, anyways, Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. See, okay, I want someone else to start this. Well, we kind of had like a 25-minute debate over this already during the break, so a lot of what we're going to say is going to be repeating ourselves to each other, but it'll be the first time you guys hear it. But
okay, I'll start. Okay. So, right, what I was hoping for, and I was really looking forward to being able to relish in a game that was just so fucking 90s like Duke Nukem was, but just with like a modern day graphics engine, you know, new Duke, more Duke, kicking pigs in the head, you know, crazy antics, crazy weapons. So that's what I was really hoping for. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, and as like I saw more videos or quick looks or plays or whatever, I realized that it was just raunchy. That said, anyone who is expecting anything else, I can't sympathize with.
Right.
Do you think there was anyone we're postulating the idea of like Duke Nukem Forever fanboys like 14 years ago.
Right.
Do you think those people still exist?
No.
Because I can't imagine it happening.
That's a fictional demographic. Like,
no, I don't think there's such a thing as a Duke Nukem fanboy. I think there's such a thing as everybody played that game. Everybody played that game. Bless you.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Sorry. I thought I held the mic better. Thank you.
But there aren't even Quake fanboys anymore, and Quake is still relevant because of Quake Live. You know what I mean? Like, that's just an era that's dead.
I think if you're like making your stand on Duke Nukem, it's just one of these weird random things you've decided. You know what? Everybody else likes Modern Warfare or like Battlefield or Valve. Fuck those guys. I'm going to go on a different direction. I like Duke Nukem Forever. So what you actually like is a game where like one of the major combat mechanics is slapping a woman's titties.
Yeah.
Well, great. Congratulations. You're a scumbag.
Yeah. Like that's it. Like exactly. Like.
It's Mr. Caffeine the game.
Yeah, it's the worst. You can tell a bunch of like 30 white guys, balding white guys, sat around a table and thought, like, that's what Duke Nukem is. You know what I mean? Oh, and then he could pick up some shit, and then he could, like, that was it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like an adult, like several adults spent over dozen years on this game, and no one thought maybe these were bad ideas. Right. There was
you know what? One of the highest rated shows on, like, I think it's G4 or Spike or something like that. It's Mansers, which is just like a bunch of dudes broing out to like, how big would a girl's tits have to be to float in a pool?
Right, yeah.
And it's just the most ridiculous thing, and yet it's really highly rated.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling, like, there's an audience for Duke Nukem Forever out there, but I think they still want to play, like, a decent game.
Right.
They just, they want it couched in that kind of frat boy mentality.
Yeah. Well, can I also express my extreme hatred?
Hatred?
What did I say?
Turdburger?
You said hatred in the most country voice imaginable.
You said turdburger?
Hatred? I'd just like to express my hatred.
It's dropping our IQ. We need to change topic.
my hatred towards what consoles have done to FPSs, and nothing other than the fact that you can only carry two weapons at once.
Yeah.
Because fuck that, Duke Nukem is about carrying like 80 million weapons, yeah. And that alone I think is enough to ruin Duke Nukem.
Serious Sam. Serious Sam does everything Duke Nukem wants, like gameplay-wise, you'd ever want, but it doesn't make you feel like a horrible human being for enjoying it.
I can't wait for Serious Sam 3.
Yeah, see,
this is gonna be awesome.
That is a bit people who I don't know. I'm gonna try to keep a lid on my crazy tirade because it's funny. I tried to make this point on the message boards, and people are like, "Is he high right now? Like, what the fuck is he rambling about? Like some
commies raging?
It's like some crazy homeless man." And I'm like. But, I think all of you are exactly right. And I think everybody's point is coming together into the one main point, which is, like, everybody involved in this got exactly what they deserved. Like, the people waiting 15 years for more Duke Nukem. It's like,
yeah.
Brother, I could
just is there
a dozen games, you know. Oh,
Is there any of...
For, like, historical purposes, it's like, it's something you want to behold because you don't get to do this but once in your entire life. I don't know if there was anyone on the face of the earth, literally. Okay, maybe like George Broussard's parents. But aside from that, who was looking forward to this video game as being like a good video game?
Yeah, a triple A block, but that wasn't an expectation from anybody. And then because all the stuff I've seen on reviews are giving it like a 2 out of 10, and then all the comments are like, "Oh, I could have told you that," and then I'm like, "Okay, sure." So could everyone else, but I think kind of like Brian, what you said, and I know Imran and Mark made this during the break, but I completely agree with you guys that the way they should have done Duke, but this actually causes for creativity, is putting him as a '90s like character. In current day generation, and just poking fun at the irony of how badass he thinks he is, but then he's not.
See, here's the thing: that doesn't require creativity; it requires ripping off Austin Powers.
Yeah, I mean, right? And like, okay, what if we had a movie trailer that Austin Powers was coming back? Like, who'd be excited?
Mike Myers.
Him, because he's about to make a shit ton of money, and then they'd go to the movie. That was a lot like the other Austin Powers. No. Like, everything about this is a joke.
Well, here's the thing. Is there any other game that has had that kind of situation? TF2, I think, is the closest thing.
Right.
But even then... But
they've actually rehauled the game. This is
they rehauled the entire thing. It's still Duke Nukem.
Yeah, the argument I made is this would have been a bad sequel to Duke Nukem if it came out 6 months after Duke Nukem did.
Yeah.
Like, would have been a terrible game.
Is there any other game? I don't think any game could come out well on the other end of a 12 to 15 year development cycle. It will certainly never live up to that.
Like, Mark and Imran brought up the perfect point about L.A. Noire being 5 years old, and it kind of suffers for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of tell it's been in development for that long. And I mean, some of the stuff is solid gold, but that was the stuff that they probably started their momentum with development with. Like, oh, we have this great idea. But then they had to stretch it out. And, we have a few more months to work, so why don't we put this in there as well? You know, you just lose focus. But game reviewers, it's so funny because now, like, the Ars Technica review – it's so funny. Anyone with half a brain wouldn't like this game. And it's like, so you're calling me retarded now. And I'm like,
yeah, I saw a lot of people getting offended by the reviews.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
which is funny because, like, if you like Duke Nukem for as outrageous as it is, then how are you so easily offended by a game reviewer's comment about
That's what I mean. That's the funny part to me. Like, the game is terrible, and I'm not one of the assholes that, like, oh, the game is great. You just don't get it, guys. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's a shitty game.
You don't get it argument is.
That's
is
whack.
Also, let's put this way. Like, gameplay wise, this just like completely like unforgivable. There's nothing in there like worth playing. And
yeah.
So the only reason people would like stand up for this game is for like the humor and whatever. And if you actually like Duke Nukem Forever for everything like outside of gameplay wise, then you actually are a bad human being.
Yeah, then you're an asshole.
You actually are a scumbag. Yeah. And yeah, you actually should be insulted because
yes,
I don't want to be part of
it. See, that's exactly right. The people that spend $60 on this deserve everything they get. Like, that was my point. Like, if they're big enough of an asshole to be so excited for Duke Nukem Forever to buy it and then trick themselves into thinking it's a good game, oh, thank God, I don't want them buying more video games. Because Lord knows if Duke Nukem Forever is successful, how many fucking ripoffs are we going to have? Like, what other shitty, like I talked about Bronky the Dinosaur on Super Nintendo. He's a dinosaur that has an inhaler and he fights asthma.
Well, I mean, I can completely understand people being excited. I mean, it's been 12 to 15 years in the making. Absolutely. I can understand being, okay, it's out now. I got to get it. I got to see what it is. But if they're, frothing at the mouth because they're actually...
They want to play it? No. Then, yeah, you're misguided. Yeah, if you want to buy it to see it, sure. But it's almost like, what is that movie we always quote about, oh, hi, Mark. Like,
oh, The Room?
Yeah. Danny Wusseau Tommy Wusu or whatever.
Tommy Wusseau, yeah.
What if they announce a sequel for it?
God, and it takes, there's a guy.
And then it takes,
I think he did have a sequel.
And it takes that's 15 years to make. Yeah. Like, you would go and you wouldn't want it to make fun of itself. You would want it to just be terrible. Like, so bad. And, like, you would love the fact that it was so bad. And I know there's some people, like, at 2K right now that are laughing their asses off. Because they knew it was a shitty product. They knew it was terrible. And the fact that they're releasing it for $60, I don't think it would have, quote-unquote, played as well as if they would have released it at $30. Like,
Take-Two has two goals out of Duke Nukem Forever. One is to actually make back some of the money they lost in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And the other is to not completely destroy the Duke brand so Gearbox can make new games.
But it's...
I'm not sure they succeeded so much in the second
one. But it's the Duke brand. Like...
But they're trying to reestablish the brand to get money
from Duke Nukem?
Well, Gearbox is doing Brothers in Arms, aren't they?
Nostalgia is powerful. I mean...
Good nostalgia is powerful. Mario Brothers 3 is powerful. That's why they put
the
Tanuki
the very
suit
fact
in...
That
but, okay.
The fact that nostalgia tends to, like... in tone that it's actually kind of like a bad, it's kind of like a subpar experience, but the only reason you're enjoying it is because it's old and you have fond, twisted memories of it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what nostalgia does. It fucks with your mind.
It's the rose-tinted glass.
People are coming in thinking, oh my God, Newton was a revelatory experience. And these people never actually played like Half-Life.
Well, ask yourself why like Hollywood will remake movies like Charlie's Angels or they'll make a new Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser or things like that.
Yeah. Or another Alvin and the Chipmunks chipwrecked movie.
Because it's easier to leverage that old stuff, even for a new generation, than it is to make a new thing.
Right. But
and it's the same reason, and this goes back to when we talked about last week about Prey 2.
Yeah.
I think to some extent.
Yeah, no, and I brought that up because Prey 1 is a 3D Realms game. So there's actually like a lot
exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot to go for it for that. But of course, so are we looking at a Prey situation? Are we looking at the situation where 3D Realms makes a shitty game and then they take the idea, change it enough to make it fantastic? Like, I think there's warrant like to that. Sure, they can bring up the Duke name, but the same people that are going to buy it blindly don't care about review scores. Some of them might even like the fucking game. Who knows? But then once they take that name, and once they change it enough that it actually gets really good press, people are just going to believe what they read. I mean,
I don't know. I would spend like $15 on a multiplayer only Duke Nukem, as long as they had the wacky levels and like trip mines that you could just put.
Yeah, the shrink ray and the I mean, because that's all you play it for. Who plays Duke Nukem for the grand narrative? You know, like.
See, the funny thing is, I feel like the next Duke Nukem game is going to be just as dated, but not dated for 1990. It's going to be dated for, like, 2010. There's going to be, like, a Modern Warfare level, even well after Modern Warfare has become, like, not become a thing anymore.
Yeah, I think that someone brought up a really good point that Bulletstorm is a better 90s first-person shooter experience than Duke Nukem Forever, yeah. And I'll agree with that.
That would totally make sense.
Bulletstorm's actually kind of funny in places.
Yeah, exactly.
I still need to pick that up. It's only $30 on Steam.
And
so
it's funny because
I should do that.
That advertisement campaign that Bulletstorm had, where it made fun of Call of Duty, if Duke Nukem went that route, oh dude, like it could be rated a -5/10, and I'd buy it day one. You know, because we need to poke fun at the industry. But the thing is, the game was terrible, so the industry is now kind of poking fun at itself. Because I just find it an inherent, like, it's funny to me that everyone's taking the, now we're finally using not the 7-9 scale. Like, it took Duke Nukem Forever to break people out of the, this game's terrible, and it didn't even turn on for me, 7/10. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of rating is that? But
I never played this game 2/8.
Yeah, some big asinine, 1.5/6.5 stars, and you're like, what does that come out to? Like, you have to bring out your calculator. Like, the whole review thing and then people getting upset because the PR people were saying bad stuff. Well, we're not going to give people more 2K games with how harsh they are. Like,
that 2K
PR guy ruined his career over Duke Nukem.
Exactly.
Forever.
That's what I mean. That is the power of Duke Nukem. Like, that is funny to me. Like, Duke Nukem
it
Forever.
It destroys everything it touches.
Yes. Of course. It's a time bomb. Like, oh, I love it so much. I'm not going to buy it. It's a shitty game. But everything else is golden. You just get a nice glass of scotch and like slowly drink it as you watch the world unfold.
Yeah.
You know, so as that, I love it. I'm just a huge,
I don't know. I might pick it up when it drops to like, you know, $10 on Steam or something. And I don't know. It would be pretty good material for a let's play. That's for sure. Yeah. Some sort. I don't know. But yeah, speaking of EA, we were just talking about Bulletstorm and Imran was like, hey, there's an EA game on Steam. So I think that's a pretty good segue to start talking about Origin.
Yeah.
Dragon Age Origins.
Origin.
or is that EA's digital download service?
Who knows? They're all one and the same now.
So they did this thing, and they're like, yeah, you know, we saw these great services, you know, with like the Sony's PSN and Xbox Live and Steam. They might have mentioned something else. And they're like, except this one will be specific to EA. I'm like, great, that's just what I want. I want a digital download service with friends and stuff specific to one fucking developer.
I want digital Disneyland.
God.
A half-rate developer now. Yeah. Like
somebody did this great little mock-up of a photo. It was like of a Windows desktop. And down in the little status bar with our little kind of mini icons and like hidden icons, it had like the Steam icon. It had an Origin one. It had, you know, every single developer had their own little digital download service and just a whole bunch of icons in your system tray.
I want to do God. I want to do a quick roundtable. If we think that Origin is going to succeed or if it's going to fail, and like not even looking at the stigma behind it, but if it's actually going to do good business or not.
Fail.
Yeah, Brian said you think it's going to fail. Imran.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure it's going to fail. I mean, in the long term, EA is just going to pull out. They're going to get bored of it because it's going to be too big a cost and they're going to use up too much money not putting it on Steam and other places. But I feel like in the next couple of years, it's going to greatly inconvenience everybody.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think they will, despite it failing miserably, they will certainly hold on to it for a very long time.
Mm. And Mark, what do you think about it?
I think it'll probably succeed because the EA will drop a ton of money into it because to them it's better to – because if you're an EA guy, you want an EA game, you don't have another choice in the matter. I think gamers will just swallow it like they do everything else. They'll say, oh, I'm going to boycott this thing, and then they'll just fucking do it. And it's worth it to EA's time because they're not paying Valve their cut. So,
I think it's going to succeed. The only reason why is I think they made this specifically so they could be the only distributor online for the Old Republic. That's absolutely the only reason why they're doing it. Everything else is just like fun money monopoly time. But like they're doing this only so they can have the only rights to Old Republic. That's it. And it's going to be successful for them because it's going to sell really well online. but you know, they're.
I would be so conflicted if like they held on to this IP and like in the next year they go, oh, by the way, Mirror's Edge 2 exclusive to Origin. And I'd just be looking up in the air going,
yeah, it will be. And it's bad because the reason why it's going to succeed money-wise is that. But the reason why it's going to fail is because they don't understand why Steam and Direct to Drive and GOG and stuff like that are successful. They have no idea.
Yeah, one of the things they have on their EULA is you have a year to download your thing or 5 licenses.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you're downloading something and your internet cuts out, which happens, mm-hmm. not everyone's internet is especially consistent, that counts as one license and you start over from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Yep. So I think the thing that makes Steam and Direct to Drive and GOG so powerful is options. I don't need to buy my game on Steam. I could go to Direct to Drive, especially if they have a 65% off deal. Or I could go to GOG for some of the older stuff because I know they have.
And you know what? If you do that, you can activate it on Steam.
A lot of times you can just have it run through the Steam client. Steam does not regulate what you can and cannot buy except for just Valve products. And see, the thing is, they're not necessarily – they're the publisher on that, sort of. But like, okay, how is Origin going to work now? Because aren't they the publishers for Valve games on the consoles? Like, aren't they publishers? They're tied in with Valve somehow.
I feel like Valve is the one that does actual publishing, but EA does the distribution and marketing.
That's probably right. So how funny is it going to be whenever the next big Valve product comes out and Origin can't have shit to do with it? Like, it's a really weird relationship.
It really is.
Then people were talking, EA was like, well, it wasn't our choice to take Crysis 2 off of Steam. That was Valve's doing.
Bullshit.
No, it's like, yeah, of course it was Valve's doing, because I hate what you're doing.
No, I think there was no... EA's excuse was they made some new rules that Crytek did not apply to, so they had to remove Crysis 2, but A, it didn't remove Crysis 1.
Yeah.
And it didn't remove any other games besides Crysis 2.
Right.
Yeah. And then Battlefield's pre-order page and Alice's pre-order page just appeared at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then some new Crysis 2 DLC launched and hit.
Yeah, and it's just bizarre because it's... Oh, man. It's the whole thing that EA is so insular, and they think it's going to be a success, but what they're really in danger of is one company... And I know exactly who it is, waking up and being like, oh, well, EA just shit the bed. Let's take over to be an actual competitor to Steam, and that's Blizzard. Because Battle.net has amazing functionality, especially between games. And that's one of those that Blizzard, that's how they make their money, man, is digitally. All their money. Like, I go on Battle.net, you can download all your stuff as many times as you want. There's no DRM, you can put it on a disc, gives you your CD keys, all this good stuff. But the thing is, all Blizzard and Activision need to do is be like, oh, yeah, I guess there is a market for a Steam competitor. And then integrate Battle.net into everything.
The problem is, once Steam has a foundation and has a user base, it is so hard to get people to use something else.
Correct. It's like Netflix
trying to muscle their way in. Yeah. And that's not the way you do it.
Yeah.
The best thing EA can do is get itself alongside Steam this
way.
It's never going to be a full replacement.
And it's ridiculous that they're like, we're going to put EA games on Steam. And even a month ago, they were like, EA games now on GOG.com.
Yeah.
And then they're like, actually, all of our games are going to be on our service. See ya. And then you're like, you guys are idiots. Because probably...
No, that's the weird thing. Like, they pulled Crysis 2 and Alice and Battlefield only from Steam.
Yeah.
Like, every other service still has them.
Right.
So they're specifically out to try and topple Valve.
Because you wonder if it's
not going to work. It's not going to work because A, people trust Valve, and B, all my friends and all my games are already on Steam. I'm not going somewhere else now.
Yeah. It's bizarre because do you think the reason why they pulled, you know, Crysis 2 and stuff like that is with Origin, like how you said with the download limits and stuff, do you think they're developing a new DRM specifically like a hardware and software based one? Like, you have your hardware based one in the product itself, in Origin. Basically, okay, this, you only have access to it for a year, but then do you think they're going to do something else and put them inside the games?
I think the reason they pulled those games in particular is because they want to push a message of, if you want these new games, you have to go to this site.
Yeah, and it's great because Valve is like, sure thing, take them. We don't need them, which they don't.
Yeah, Valve hasn't really said anything, and I don't think they really care.
Like, Crysis 2 was on the bestsellers page of Steam for 6 hours, and then it was brushed off by Counter-Strike Source. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fucking Valve doesn't need them. Take your ball and go play in your little Origin sandbox, and we'll be over here making money. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's hilarity.
It's interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I don't know.
Just hilarity all the way around. Also, since we're on the Steam thing, how dare they put free-to-play games on there?
You're doomed.
I am doomed, man.
I'm doomed.
Oh, dude, I've already played Forsaken World for like five hours.
I went to bed like 2 hours later than I should have because I decided I'd try out Champions Online and make a character.
Yep, exactly. See?
I don't know how I feel about the actual game and gameplay, but I'm going to try it some more. Well, Spiral Knights is super fun.
Forsaken Worlds is terrible, but it's the good kind of terrible, to where if I don't feel like playing anything in particular, I can put that on. The best thing about it is you don't really have to play it. You can be online, and then in your quest log, it's like, you go beat so-and-so. You click on their name, and then your guy just automatically runs over to him. Like, you don't even have to touch the keyboard, hardly. And I'm like, oh, this is my kind of game, man.
Forsaken interaction.
Yeah. But also, I've been playing Infamous, and that game is balls out awesome. But
how far are you?
6 hours. But yeah, I think it's time to wrap, and then we'll be back next week. We do big Infamous stuff as I get further along, and we'll be it'll be fun times. But
looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Sorry, I was only here half the time, but we'll be next week, and it'll be episode 44 next time.
Yes, 44.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Mark Bradshaw.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Imran Khan.
No big deal. I was going to say not a problem, too, and I was like, shit, got to change it.
Like, it's like, oh, what the fuck ever. And then, of course, Brian Bolita.
I ain't even trying. Yeah,
you ain't even trying to Bolita. All right.
And thanks to our Canadian cohort.
Yeah, he's probably in a riot right now.
Hopefully.
Thinking about it. But, all right, gang. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Up that the build engine only had like one like tasteful game that you wouldn't be embarrassed to play like now, and it was Blood.
Yeah, well, it was Blood, but also Blood wasn't Street. That William Shatner Tech War video game? Wasn't that on the build engine?
I think that was Lithtech. I can't be sure.
I think that was the very first build engine game. It was like a really archaic.
Oh, version. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was. Well, you're right. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. You're right.
So fucking William Shatner's Tech War. Let's take a look at this. Let's bring this back with the old build engine retrospective.
Oh, man. God. I don't think I ever played that, but my brother did, and I watched him a whole lot.
There was a Super Nintendo game about a frog that had asthma, and you go, it is Bronchi the dinosaur. Like, I want to bring him up, and I want to make him a point. Like, would you think after 15 years, the character you always dreamed about, Bronchi the fucking asthma dinosaur. Like, it's the same thing, man. Like, of course it will be a terrible game, because that's a terrible character.